out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 11th of October, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we are streaming live today at radioarian.com because we've got Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with us. Matt, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm hanging in there. Today is definitely a white pill. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's particularly interesting, I think. It's a subject we don't very often cover, and that's the Taliban and Afghanistan and what's happening over there. And they seem to be in the news again. Just recently, I've seen them turning up on RT. They've actually had interviews with them. Apparently, they're going to a peace conference. And I hear you've been checking out the Taliban's own website, which is apparently banned from being posted at Facebook, which doesn't really surprise me. But what does surprise me is that a lot of what the Taliban are saying is actually the same as what we're saying, which I do find quite funny. But I guess what we should start off with is a statement from the Taliban themselves. And this is from October the 9th. This is from yesterday, I believe. And this is from the Taliban. This is on the Taliban's website. 17 years ago, Afghanistan was invaded by the NATO military coalition headed by America as they violated the air and ground sanctuaries of our country. Apparently, this invasion was started on the lame pretext of the 9/11 incident, in which no Afghans were involved, nor did we have any knowledge, nor had the Americans presented such evidence which could provide a sensible and logical base for their illegitimate invasion. At the time, a stable Islamic system was implemented on 95% of our territory, which was just emancipated from factional anarchism and internal fighting by restoring peace and stability. Prior to the American invasion, drugs were minimized to naught by the Islamic Emirate, but now it exceeds the world record again. Well, let's just pause there before we move on to the second bit, Matt. I mean, that's confirmation about this drugs thing, isn't it? The drugs have increased since America went into Afghanistan. There was none there before they went in there. And now it's the world center of the heroin trade, which does tend to rather sort of implicate America in that. Do you think that's the reason why America is there? Or do you think there are other reasons? And what are your thoughts about this statement, basically, of innocence from the Taliban?
Well, you know, if I were a Muslim man, I'd be a member of the Taliban. There'd be no question. They're correct. They're right geopolitically. Of course, you know, they had Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with 9/11. The Taliban had nothing to do with 9/11. Osama was the only guy who condemned it. The Taliban condemned it at the time because so many innocent people were killed. That was kept out of the press. They really wanted to be left alone. But Afghanistan has a tremendous natural gas, but pipelines as well as its native supplies, tons of minerals, and a strategic territory. It's never been a colony, and there's good reason for it. And the U.S. is losing, but everything they're saying here is true. And they're quoting the United Nations, who said that during the Emirate in the mid-90s, the drug production had been reduced to zero. So they won their drug war in about a year. And as soon as the U.S. went in, yes, of course, big drug companies made a fortune. And the only reason the price remains high is because the Taliban is winning in other parts of the country. So, yeah, they're 100% correct.
Well, it used to be the Golden Triangle, didn't it? Drugs used to be centered around the Golden Triangle, which was Burma, Vietnam, Cambodia, while the Vietnam War was going on. And as soon as things sort of quietened down over there, we end up with the drug scene moving to Afghanistan and another convenient war going on over there in Afghanistan. But I think the reasons for America actually being there, I don't think that's the sole reason. I think it's changed over time. Maybe we'll get into that at the end of the program. Well, let's get back to this quote that we're going to start with from the statement from the Taliban. They also say, besides killing, agonizing, torturing, looting, insecurity, and public chaos, numerous other social evils have been produced here by the American invaders by instigating ethnic and linguistic differences. Our youth are deprived of their dignity by indulging them in Western immoralities. Women's lives are critically endangered under the disguise of women's rights. Besides moral corruption, numerous of our youth are made into drug addicts. So they're deliberately, you know, I mean, they're pointing out here that it's basically demoralizing and a degenerate lifestyle that is being promoted by America under the disguise of it being human rights, under the disguise of this being good for women. But they're saying it's critically endangering their lives. I mean, I would agree with that. Who's going to provide for these women if they're not going to marry? Who's going to protect these women if they're not going to have husbands, if they think that they're going to go out and have careers? What careers are they going to have in Afghanistan? They're just meaning that these women aren't going to be able to provide for themselves, basically. And they're going to end up not being happy without children. I mean, what a place to promote feminism. We should really just leave them to it, to get on with the way that they've lived for centuries, thousands of years, and just leave them to it. They're not the ones that are threatening the West. They don't want an Islamic state throughout the world. They just want their country for themselves, and they want sovereignty. And I find this interesting here as well, Matt. Instigating ethnic and linguistic differences. So what's going on there? Usually it's the other way around, isn't it? I would have thought.
Well, they're talking about arming the so-called Northern Alliance a few years ago, bringing in ISIS, of course, the American proxies. You know, talking, you know, in the two major linguistic groups there. The Taliban was very popular. It is very popular. The fact is that when you have a war going on for so long, from the 70s straight up until, you know, today, morality is destroyed. Life is cheap. The people who rule are the most devious, the most amoral. This is where the Taliban came from. They realized they needed a very strong, militant, moral force to restore order. That's exactly what they were doing. That's why they were legitimate. And using violence is really the only way. It's the only language they understood. And just as they're making progress, of course, the U.S. invades and sets them back. They were on the way. Again, the Taliban got their money from taxing goods coming from Pakistan. They became a wealthy organization. They were in the process of rebuilding Afghanistan, which is something that the U.S. and the Israelis couldn't handle. Rebuilding Afghanistan on this model, you know, as an on-again, off-again ally of Iran, but certainly an ally of Pakistan, is out of the question. And so the U.S. had to destroy it. And it's one thing that all of the American attacks and invasions have in common is that these are countries in the third world that were close to Israel, opponents of Israel, but on the verge of becoming first world countries. Afghanistan wasn't that far along, but they were rebuilding and doing pretty well. They were self-sufficient in food. Now, of course, poverty is far worse than it ever has been. And you're right, it's the worst possible place to push feminism. Taliban were protecting women because, of course, just taking them off the street and doing what you wanted with them was normal. And I think it is normal. But that's what happens when you live in a society at war for, you know, two generations. And that's all you know. And the Taliban was there. You know, they were actually escorting women from place to place, making sure that didn't happen. And so, you know, even the media there is completely controlled by the U.S., by the state, as well as private companies. And no one knows anything. And the Taliban side is a great source of information because they've been saying from the beginning, we never threatened the U.S. at all. We condemned 9/11 when it happened, as did Osama bin Laden. This whole thing is completely ridiculous. And now bringing in ISIS as American proxy, and they're so blatant about it because the ISIS communications are coming straight out of the American airbase. That's where they're originating from, their communications. They're wearing American special forces uniforms, which is how they're getting through checkpoints. In Afghanistan, the fact that ISIS is just American proxies is so blatantly, it's even worse than Syria. They really are American proxies, and too many of them speak English, but wearing the American uniforms and everything else and having all this money And they've been rescued by the Taliban, by the U.S. Many times. And just as soon as the Taliban drives them out of their country, the U.S. shoots them, you know, brings in helicopters and rescues them. So clearly they're allies. They've always been allies. And this is a blatant example of that. And they're coming straight out of the Jalalabad American Air Force Base there. And that's where their communications are originating from.
That's the strangest thing, is the fact that the Taliban are actually against ISIS. And ISIS, what is it, Islamic State in Syria, or Islamic State in the Levant? Well, now it's Islamic State in Afghanistan, surprisingly enough. I mean, who would have thought it? Well, let's have a look at what else has been going on here. We've got a couple of news stories here. The Taliban has never tried to mend ties with the United States as they continue to fight against both Americans and the Islamic State, a commander of the group has told Russia Today. He denied that any member was ever permitted to discuss peace with the United States. Taliban leaders rarely appear on television. However, Mullah Tofan, a warlord of Patiqot district in Afghanistan's Nangarhar province, gave an interview to RT in which he denied speculation that the insurgent group had an appetite for reaching out to the United States, and so does the United States. The Americans never wanted to cooperate with Taliban, and Taliban also never asked Americans to cooperate, Tofan said, noting that US forces are bombing the militants while they are fighting against Islamic State. Commenting on reports of the United States ferrying ISIS fighters from Syria and Iraq to Afghanistan, he said, "That might be possible because we also heard this." So this does seem to be what's going on. America is actually ferrying these Islamic militants into Afghanistan to now fight against the enemy that they have there. And we've also got a direct bit from the Taliban site. This is them talking about ISIS. They say that they're offering direct proof of United States support for ISIS. This comes after American invaders also bombarded Mujahideen positions in order to avoid Daesh's complete eradication. Daesh is ISIS, in order to avoid Daesh's complete eradication from Kush Tepa district of Jiaozhan province some time ago, and later rescued them under the supervision via Kabul regime's helicopters. Similarly, whenever America realized that Mujahideen of Islamic Emirate, that's the Taliban, are engaged in effective offensive against Daesh in the eastern region of the country, they bombarded the Mujahideen positions, asserting that American invaders are standing behind the Daesh mischief. So there's direct evidence there of America helping out ISIS, isn't it?
Well, it was the case everywhere. That was the case in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. You would think in normal circumstances they would be allies. But the Taliban knew from the very beginning that this is just American proxies, that this is a Blackwater operation, an American military operation, using some local forces, or forces from actually all over the Islamic world. They knew this right away. And so there was never any negotiation or anything. They simply were ferried in by the U.S., defeated by the Taliban like everybody else, and rescued by the U.S. as soon as they were defeated. But I think when the Russians were beating ISIS up in Syria, the U.S. was condemning Russia, condemning them over and over again. John McCain was the first one to condemn Russian actions against ISIS. You know, they couldn't really hide it after a while. And this is why Putin's move in Syria was so brilliant, because it forced the U.S. to come to ISIS' defense. They had no choice in the matter. They couldn't support Russia because that would be supporting their number one enemy. So they were forced to support Russia's enemy, or Assad's enemy, which was these guys. And now the U.S. is in full alliance with al-Qaeda in Yemen and in Syria. So I guess that theory about 9/11 goes out the window. So, and of course, this is being kept out of the press, although some British papers did report on the American alliance with al-Qaeda, which made me laugh at the time. No one noticed it in this country. But it's really blatant how Johnson's law operates. Very few people can follow this stuff or know what's going on and can follow all the factions and everything else. ISIS was so blatantly an American invention from the very beginning. I was the first one to call it. It doesn't take a genius to call that. And it was so blatant. And you know, they show up in the Philippines, wherever an American enemy is. Enemy of the U.S. shows up, there's ISIS. And no other group functions that way. But, of course, the one place where they won't go is Israel or Saudi Arabia. So it's pretty blatant here. And apparently they're very poor fighters because the Taliban, being as experienced as they are, pretty much wiped them out right away. And so they always have to be rescued by the U.S. They were doing the same in Syria, but they had to be more careful because of Russian technology made it very easy to detect this. In Afghanistan, they're a bit more equal. But I don't believe for 2 minutes that there's any desire. Why would the Taliban reach out to the U.S.? I don't know who this Tofan is. It doesn't say he's Taliban. I don't think he is. He's just a warlord. The Taliban is winning. It's been wiping the country with the U.S. Why would they reach out to them? Their morale has never been higher. They're defeating the U.S. and their proxies all over the place. So I think this is as much as I love RT, I don't think this is a real story.
Well, I think maybe this is why there is this speculation that the Taliban and the US might make peace, is because the Taliban are fighting against ISIS. I think that's where this speculation is coming from. And that's why they're saying, well, we don't want anything to do with America. That America is behind ISIS. I think that's why this speculation is there, that the mainstream media is saying, well, ISIS are fighting against the Taliban, America is going in there. So maybe the ones on the far left are saying, well, why isn't America making peace with the Taliban? And we've also got a Russian conference that is coming up. So with this same character. So they must have checked him out. I do think that he is actually part of the Taliban. I don't think he would just be someone pretending to be them, because also they would say on their site, I think, that someone is trying to impersonate us. I've got some more here. When asked whether some moderates within the Taliban are willing to talk about peace prospects with the US, Tofan denied any such possibility. Taliban leaders do not want to negotiate with the Americans and would never give permission to any Taliban members to negotiate on behalf of Taliban leadership, he insisted. Instead, the Taliban commander confirmed that representatives of the insurgent group will attend an upcoming peace conference in Moscow once a date and agenda have been set. We are waiting for it, then we will decide what to achieve from the conference, Tofan said. The talks in Moscow would mark the Taliban's first public appearance in the international arena since they were removed from power in Afghanistan following the US-led invasion in 2001. The Taliban is widely recognized as a terrorist organization by Europe, the US, and Russia. Well, it's a bit of a failure if this organization is still going 17 years later. They weren't removed from power. They still control half of Afghanistan. When you think after the Second World War, they completely wiped out the National Socialist Party completely. They did away with all the teachers. Anybody that had anything to do with National Socialism was locked up in prison, and there was total brainwashing of all the German people afterwards to wipe them out completely. Nothing like that has been, they haven't been able to do anything like that in Afghanistan. These guys still control half of the country. And they're now making a public appearance again, and they've got official representatives going to Russia for this peace conference. So again, it seems that Russia is succeeding in doing what America claims to be wanting to do, because America claimed to want to get rid of that Islamic State in Syria. They failed. Russia has done so. They claim that they want peace in Afghanistan, and yet we've got Russia that are actually doing this, that are setting up this peace conference, and America is not invited.
Well, if I were Taliban, I think the one country that I would approach and trust would be the Russians, despite their very bad history. But that bad history was back in the 70s. That was a long time ago. Now, I never heard the name Tofan before. Of all the, I have a book out on American failure in Central Asia, and Tofan never comes up. I've never seen that. He must be he's a new guy, and it bugs me a little bit. But trusting Russia, I guess, would make some sense. Reaching out for public support from another country, a large country that supported Assad. Well, maybe that's not a terrible idea, and maybe Russia will drop this notion that they're a terrorist group. But the American press engages in wishful thinking. For years, they've been saying that the Russian economy is on the verge of collapse. The Chinese economy is on the verge of collapse. Recently, it's the Iranian economy that's on the verge of collapse. And yet these are very healthy economies. They figure if they say this enough over and over again, investors won't invest there, and they'll be scared, and it'll collapse of its own will, like the Soviet Union did. And I think that's the case here, that, oh, we've heard that the Taliban are looking for peace talks, even though they're winning. And they sent another General Miller, another sacrificial lamb out to oversee the defeat of the U.S. The U.S. press does this all the time. Hopefully just through sheer wish fulfillment that their agenda is going to happen. I mean, Iran is one of the most healthy economies in the world, as I demonstrated a few weeks ago on my show. But now every other article is that the Iranian economy is near collapse. And the only economy near collapse is the American. So this kind of wishful thinking isn't uncommon, and it substitutes for actual news reporting. And of course, Johnson's law really applies here, because so few people really follow what's going on here. It's really hard to keep track of all the factions and the factions of factions and all the different names and all their agendas. But the truth is that the Taliban is popular. They delivered the goods. They were rebuilding the country. And the U.S. and their allies, including ISIS, is now associated with the destruction of the country. So the Taliban's already on this, no matter what.
Well, I have found that the subject matter that we end up discussing on these programs is normally on the mainstream news within about 48 hours of us discussing it. We do seem to be a little bit ahead of the curve there. Well, we've also got we've got some analysis by a writer and a regional analyst, and this is Ali Rizki. He says the Taliban will keep winning in Afghanistan if the US continues with its focus on just military force in dealing with a group that it has been unable to defeat for the past 17 years. The so-called War on Terror, which was launched after the 9/11 attacks, has turned out to be an utter failure. The Taliban is now in a stronger position than it ever was since it was ousted from power in 2001, he said. By pushing through with the military solution, Washington has been pursuing a wrong strategy, the analyst said. On the contrary, the US involvement up until now has led to the growth of terrorism, instead of leading to its curbing. That is clear from what we see in Afghanistan. If the US continues to pursue the same strategy advocated by the generals, then the Taliban would just make even more advances in the country, Risk warned. The real terrorist threat there is the Islamic State, which has launched all these attacks, whether it be in Syria, in Iraq, and even in Europe. The Taliban's main focus is within Afghanistan, seizing power within that country, he added. So it looks like if the Taliban are fighting against the Islamic State, and they've got the country behind them in fighting against them, and America is seen as allied with the Islamic State, even if people aren't really aware of the evidence for that, simply because America is against the Taliban shows that they're allied with the Islamic State. And you've got a lot of analysts that are saying America is taking the wrong, is really taking the wrong attitude in this, Matt, I think.
Well, first of all, I think you're right what you said a little while ago, that our stuff shows up in the major press. You know, they let us do all the work. They let us do all the research and all the argumentation, and they go, oh, maybe they have something there. And so a few days later, it shows up. And that's been – even when I was working for the Barnes Review, the same thing happened there. Stuff shows up a month after the Barnes Review published something in the mainstream press. That happens all the time. They let us do the work for them. But the last line here is really an endorsement. They're saying that the Taliban, all they care about is taking over the country. That doesn't threaten anybody. They're not a terrorist group. They're a guerrilla organization. They're the opposite of a terrorist group. The U.S. is attacking positions. You know, I've confronted Air Force officers in the past on this personally. And they're bragging about attacking these little mountain groups that can't shoot back. And I said, how much of a threat could they be? You know, you're slaughtering people. You're the terrorists over there. And that's what everyone thinks of you. You're killing people that can't fight back. And you're really avoiding, I saw a U.S. Army video where they're attacking allegedly a Taliban stronghold. And I didn't see a single person on the other side. I didn't see a single bullet coming from the other side, a single shot or a single flash from the other side. It was a propaganda video. There was a shooting in an empty village. They're doing this all the time. They could tell us that anything is a Taliban stronghold. How would we know? You have to be there to know. So, you know, they're wiping out these small organizations, local groups, and claiming that they're Taliban. How are we to know one way or the other? And that's what the U.S. is associated with over there, as well as the ridiculously corrupt U.S.-backed. I know there's new elections coming up there where there's one slate of candidates approved by the United States. It's a completely fraudulent election. And if the Taliban was able to participate in it, they would probably win. So they're banned from participating in the election. So that's the nature of the occupation system over there.
Well, that's very democratic, isn't it? Banning, well, it's just same as everywhere else, really, isn't it? They've banned the Nationalist Party from taking part. But we've also got some information on the government there. This is Charles Tiffer in a recent Forbes article. He says, Afghans do not consider the Taliban nearly as much a problem as government corruption. To put it differently, popular support for the Taliban compared to support for the Afghan government has grown despite all of America's efforts in the war since 2001, including the two large Obama troop surges. Why? Because the Afghan population will not support a government that they find as corrupt as the one led by Ashraf Ghani in Kabul. Tifa is not a stranger to the level of corruption in Afghanistan. When I was a commissioner on wartime contracting in Iraq and Afghanistan, I took a mission to Kabul and Kandahar in 2011. I was shown a slice of particularly galling Afghan corruption. The Afghan government not only taxed its own people for money that got diverted, it taxed materials brought in for American reconstruction efforts, he said. That money was not kept in any kind of special fund. In other words, in this way, the Afghans taxed you and me. We paid into the general government funds that so consistently got siphoned off. And I before this Ashraf Ghani, I think it was someone called Karzai, and he was really not very well liked either. Lots of corruption. He was incredibly rich, while the country was incredibly poor. So it really does look like the, you know, America is fighting a war there with no support from the people whatsoever, just like Iraq, when it went into Iraq and we were told that the Iraqis were just going to welcome the American soldiers. And instead, they just destroyed the country, and America is hated by the Iraqis, and Islamic State grew from that. So it does surprise me that we haven't actually got a homegrown Islamic State in Afghanistan, because we've got the same thing that's going on. I mean, the Taliban are the original government there. They shouldn't really be seen in the same light as, you know, the Islamic State that grew out of Iraq. I know you say that they're backed by America, but there was also, you know, Iraqi fundamentalists that wanted to have an Islamic State. It's just that America has sort of steered the direction of it into Syria and now into Afghanistan. So these guys should really be the legitimate opposition, but they can't allow them in there because I think that they would win, wouldn't they, Matt? If there was an election, they would win outright, I think.
You know, I have a lengthy 40-page article on the Taliban and their political theory and religious theory. And their whole reason for existence was to rebuild the moral structure of the country. They're very, very strict with each other. You know, corruption and siphoning off funds. I mean, you could get your head chopped off for that. And this is why they're trusted. These aren't wealthy men. They don't take profit. Even when they were in power, they didn't take profits from the Pakistani trade like the present government does. Karzai, as you mentioned, was a mafia boss who had connections in the underworld, which is why he was able to defend himself. You know, these people aren't taken seriously. They're seen as American stooges, and that's exactly what they are. They couldn't win an election, you know, if their lives depended on it. I mean, at least in Vietnam, the U.S. was defending a functional, at least for a while, relatively strong South Vietnamese state. But here it's nothing. You've seen the videos of the Afghan National Army and police force. They're the lowest dregs of society. Have been kicked out of their villages, and the American trainers are saying this. They've given up on them. There is no Afghan army. It's a mockery. They either run and join the Taliban at the first opportunity, or they run screaming the minute they show up. It's an absolute disaster. It's far worse than anything in Vietnam.
They're a laughingstock, aren't they? I mean, we've done a program or mentioned them on a program before, the state of the Afghan army. Well, let's have a look at what the real reason why America is there then. The Taliban and now the Islamic State militants have been increasingly successful in launching attacks in the heart of Kabul, the Afghan capital. While the Taliban continues to occupy some 52% of the provinces today, even though it had been virtually eliminated in 2001. So it's come back to life, basically. Some 15 million people, or half the Afghan population, now live in areas either controlled by the Taliban or where they are openly present and are able to mount effective military attacks, according to a recent BBC study. All of this comes even though the Trump administration continues to pour in troops for training and assisting of Afghan security forces. Today, they number some 14,000, even though at one point during the Obama administration, there were about 100,000 combat US and NATO forces in the country, and still the Taliban couldn't be defeated. The imperative for America seems to be to maintain an influence in the area, probably conceding that it can't defeat the Taliban, but will continue trying to train Afghan security forces, even resorting to the use of PMCs, which is private military forces, which Trump has turned down until now. In attempting to maintain a presence, the Trump administration sees that by leaving Afghanistan, it will create a political and military vacuum which Iran will quickly fill, just as it did when the US forces left Iraq at the end of 2011. This may be the reason why the US has turned down repeated offers by Russia to be part of a standing working group of neighboring countries on Afghanistan to explore what ultimately must be a political solution to this seemingly endless war. But Washington's relations with Moscow aren't very good, and any political resolution to the turmoil in Afghanistan will need to include the regional players of Iran, Russia, China, Pakistan, and India, all countries with which the US has contentious issues. And they're also all countries which are buying Russian weaponry as well at the moment, as we covered before, Matt. Do you want to just say something about this before we finish, about America's role? Because I think this is the real reason. It doesn't want Iran to have the influence there.
Well, I think that's really a stupid statement. From if that's correct, there would be no power vacuum in Afghanistan. The Taliban would take over. The Iranians are not going to get involved in that quagmire like the U.S. and the Soviets and the British did. They're not crazy that way. If anything, Pakistan would benefit. So that's just an invented concept that Iran would somehow fill the vacuum. That would be the case in Shiite parts of Iraq. There's no doubt about that. And there's probably good reason for that to happen. But that would never happen in Afghanistan. They don't trust one another. The only country that really recognizes the Taliban, other than Saudi Arabia, is the Pakistanis. And they would benefit greatly, and they would assist in the rebuilding of the economy. The Pakistanis helped create the Taliban in the first place. That the comment about Iran is absolutely ridiculous. It's not ridiculous relative to Iraq because they're mostly Shiite anyway, but that's certainly not the case in Afghanistan. That's just really something almost a sop to the Zionists saying, well, we've got to stay there to defend it from the Iranians. But that's utter nonsense. There would be no vacuum. The Taliban would take care of that instantly.
What's the reason then? What do you think is the reason for them still being there then? It can't just be drugs. It must be a reason.
Well, there's drugs, there's minerals, there's natural gas, there's oil pipelines. It's a very strategic, for being a landlocked country, it's a very strategic place. The gems and minerals there haven't even begun to be mined yet. And yet mining companies are saying there's a ton underneath the soil. There's not enough peace to make it happen. So there's a lot that they could use to rebuild the country if the Taliban were to take over and actually function as a sovereign country. And this is one of the reasons the U.S. is upset. They want this cash. They want these resources.
So they want to open it up for capitalism, which is, of course, why they're promoting feminism and liberalism and all the rest of it. Only it's not going to work because they're a conservative-minded country. So what they should really be doing is working with the Taliban, but they've burnt their bridges there after invading the country. Oh, well, I think we've learned a lot from today's episode, Matt. Thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.